Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution. This week, Stephen Meyer appeared on the Sandy Rios Show, where he answered questions about DNA, his new book, Signature in the Cell, and the recent appointment of Francis Collins to the NIH.
The intelligent design theory has become more popular, Stephen, according to a Zogby poll.
Well, that's right. I think people's deepest intuitions have long been that, and in biologists as well, they'll say that life looks as though it were designed for a purpose. The innovation in the 19th century was Darwin's idea that appearance is an illusion. But now more and more scientists are coming back to their original impression that things look designed because they really were designed, and you can tell from the scientific evidence. I got fascinated with this question that you led the hour off with the idea of this mystery surrounding the origin of information and the closely related mystery of the origin of life. And I went off to graduate school. I had encountered some scientists who had thought that the information in DNA intuitively seemed to be the kind of thing that must have come from an intelligence. But I wondered if that intuition could be developed into a rigorous scientific argument. And so naturally, I began to study the works of Darwin and other scientists who had developed a method for studying events in the remote past. And I found that they had a really compelling, simple rule of reasoning that made common sense, which was that if you're trying to explain an event in the remote past, you should invoke a cause which is known to produce that kind of effect. Darwin's mentor, Charles Lyell, said we should be looking for presently acting causes or causes now in operation. And I asked myself a question. I thought, what is the cause now in operation that produces information, that produces digital code? And, of course, we know of a type of cause that does that. And, in fact, we know of only one type of cause that produces information, and that's mind or intelligence. So, for me, the odd and ironic conclusion was that using the scientific method, in fact, the very method of scientific reasoning that Darwin himself pioneered, you come to the conclusion of intelligent design. So with intelligent design, the starting point is different. The starting point is the scientific evidence. It's not a religious doctrine or a biblical text, although I myself think that once you conclude that there was an intelligent designer, the most likely candidate to be that designer is actually God. I'm a theist, a Christian, and I think the theory has religious implications, even if it has a scientific starting point.
Yes, but it's good. It's refreshing, Stephen, because there's been this whole notion, I don't need to tell you, but that science and faith in God are mutually exclusive. And you guys have taken the science, the actual science, and led people to the natural conclusion that it is just a leap, a quantum leap of faith, to think that it could be accidental. You are saying in this book that neo-Darwinism cannot survive the biology of the 21st century. Let's come back with that in just a second, because that's a pretty strong statement. I bet the neo-Darwinists are flipping out over that statement, Stephen Meyer, in his book called Signature in the Cell, DNA and the Evidence for Intelligent Design. Stephen, you say that the evidence is so strong that the neo-Darwinists cannot survive the biology of the 21st century. What do you mean by that?
Well, my book, just a point of clarification, my book is actually about the earlier stages of the cosmic history, or the origin of the very first life, which is actually something that neither Darwin nor his modern followers have attempted to explain. And that's one of the reasons it's been such a big mystery. There's another branch of evolutionary theory that attempts to address it. But what we've been learning in biology, not just since Watson, not just at the time of Watson and Crick, but since with the Human Genome Project and the what's called the ENCODE Project, is everything in life is run by information. We've learned about the primacy of information. And we have a fellow out here who's done some work with us. He was retired temporarily from Microsoft, which I think meant he was about 38 years old. And he was a brilliant programmer who wrote 10,000 lines of code, and we produced a simulation in our lab of how the information in DNA goes through the process of directing the construction of proteins. And he simulated that with our molecular biologists. One day he came into my office and he put down a book on my desk called Design Patterns. And he said, I get the eerie feeling that someone has figured this out before us. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, we have inside the cell all the same design patterns or design logic that we use in accomplishing various tasks, in doing error correction or hierarchical organization of information. There's a files within folders, folders within superfolders, way of organizing information in the genome, the way information is stored and then accessed. He says, we use all those same design strategies in a modern digital computer, only the elegance of the design is more like an 8.0, 9.0, 10.0 version inside the living organism. So it's like a design using the same logic and strategies we use, but well beyond anything we've come up with. So as we're encountering that kind of sophistication in every cell of every living organism, this is something well beyond what the mechanism of undirected mutations and selection can produce. And I think it's causing a shakeup in biology. There's a great old guard who's defending tenaciously this essentially 19th century model that was revived, you know, resuscitated and updated in the 50s. But, you know, we're in the information age now. It's come firmly into biology. And I just think that as the insights of the information sciences sink into our analysis of biology, we're not going to be talking about the kinds of mechanisms that Darwin did way back in the 19th century.
Stephen, don't you think the case could be made that this huge backlash and resistance, besides the fact that we want to believe, we don't quickly change our beliefs, you know, none of us do, not if we really believe them.
That's right, and I think one of the things we're dealing with here is a branch of science or a type of science that is also very philosophical. No matter how you answer the question of biological origins, there is going to be a philosophical implication. If you think there's design, that obviously is theistic friendly. It points in the direction of God or something very much, as one of our critics said, or someone with the same skill set. On the other hand, if you think that life arose through purely undirected processes, if it developed but without any guiding hand, then you're going to be inclined towards a materialistic worldview. And so when scientists challenge, as many of us have done, the reigning paradigms, both chemical evolution and biological evolution of life, invariably there's been a very strong and often emotional response. Sometimes the scientists themselves who have raised the questions have been punished in a kind of shoot the messenger way. That's what the Expelled movie by Ben Stein was all about, how scientists have been treated who have raised legitimate scientific questions about the explanatory power of Darwinian evolution or other related theories.
Stephen, in a word, please explain again what your book is about, because I didn't have your book and I didn't understand that it was looking back in time. So say a word about that again, please.
Yeah, I'm looking at the evidence for it's really addressing a mystery, and I've written the book as a mystery story. What explains the mystery of this central feature of life, the digital code that runs the show inside the cell? So it's about the challenge that has been raised to materialistic evolutionary theories of the origin of life, but also, you correctly point out, the implications that these information sciences have for other branches of evolutionary theory, the neo-Darwinian theory as well.
Very interesting, and it is called Signature in the Cell. One last word, Stephen. I just can't let you go unless I ask you about this new appointment of John Holdren to the Science Czar. Do you know anything about this?
Well, I just know that he's got views that are favorable. At least I've seen reported that he's been favorable in the past to ideas of eugenics, which I think have been, you know, kind of out of fashion for a long time, and thankfully so.
Yeah, eugenics, planetary regime, assuming control of the. It's very bizarre. And then the last thing is about the appointment of Francis Collins to the NIH, the National Institute for Health. Just a word about that before I let you go.
Yeah, sure. Francis has been attacked by a lot of these new atheists, including Jerry Coyne right there at the University of Chicago, near where you are. And I think it's the height of a kind of double standard, because obviously the new atheists, the Darwinians, Coyne and others, are the staunch atheists themselves, and they want to say that Collins should be disqualified from government service because he has a strong religious view and, in fact, thinks that science supports religious belief. And, if someone having a worldview disqualified them from government service, then there's a whole lot of other people with a contrary worldview that should also resign. So I think that's just the height of double standard. Collins, I think, should be commended for seeing that science and faith go together. My book actually builds on, you know, the metaphor that he uses in the language of God to say that there really is a signature in the cell, that information is something that shows that there was an intelligence, a designing mind behind life. And I personally agree with Collins that the designing mind responsible was God.
Let me just say in closing, it's signature in the cell, DNA, and the evidence for intelligent design. By the way, Discovery Institute, discovery.org is the website. It's one of my trusted places for information. I've learned so much from Stephen and the other guys who are his fellows there. And I just so appreciate your work, Stephen. And good luck with the book.
For continuing updates on other interviews and appearances featuring Dr. Meyer, visit signatureinthecell.com. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2008. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.